Welcome to church in Toronto. My name is Nathan, and I'm your host this morning. If today is your first time here, we want you to feel at home. God loves you just as you are, and we're so glad to have you here. If you're not new, welcome home. CIT is supported financially by the congregation, so thank you so much for giving faithfully. It enables us to do things like purchase the equipment for our kids' check-in area. We have awesome volunteers, but they needed the right equipment. For parents, especially those who are new to CIT, it's critical that they know that their kids are safe and secure while they're here, and the kids' check-in goes a long way to making that happen. If you came prepared to give today, there are three ways that you can do that. There's our giving box out in the main hallway. You can give online through our website, or you can text to give. If you're new with us, please don't feel any obligation to give whatsoever. We're just so glad to have you here. This summer we have an event coming up. It's the CIT Kids Picnic on Saturday, August 18th. These things are always a ton of fun, so please bring your friends and family and food. And if you have any other questions, please go down to the kids' check-in area after the service, and there'll be somebody there who can answer any questions you might have. We have something special for Father's Day after the service. Not after the service, after the sermon. There we go, that's better. So, right now I'd like to welcome our teaching pastor Ian to come up, and we're continuing in our Messiah series in Matthew today.
What could it possibly be that the fathers will get this time? A flower, maybe. A carnation, yeah, maybe. I doubt it. It's okay. We love our dads. Could you just give a warm, happy Father's Day clap for everyone here? Being a dad is not easy, but that's okay. We take on the job willingly. We're in this series, the book of Matthew, Messiah. We're going to be covering discipleship today. This is so important for us going forward. It's one of the pillars of our church. We visioned out a little earlier a couple of years ago about what we see for this church, and we recognize that discipleship was something that's really critical for us, and so we're going to talk about that today. Before I start, I'm going to ask our scripture reader to come up. He can introduce himself, and yeah, go. There you go. I don't know why this guy is so popular, honestly.
Good morning, church. Happy Father's Day once again to all the fathers here with us. For those that don't know me, I'm Eric. There's a picture of me. So just a little bit about me. I've been coming to CIT for just under 6 or 8 months now. I was told to share what drew me to CIT. So honestly speaking, what drew me were two things. First was the 11 a.m. start time here.
Woo!
And the 5-minute walk from my home. But really what's kept me coming back was the community here and the discipleship that I see going on. From day one, this place has been super welcoming, a really warm and inviting place, and I hope that's the case for anyone that's here for the first time as well. It's a real honor and a blessing to call CIT my home. Just a quick plug for home group. For anyone that's also looking for that sense of community, I really encourage you to get plugged into a home group. They're all about life-changing relationships with Jesus Christ, and it's really awesome. Mm-hmm. So now let's read from God's Word. Today we'll be reading from Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 to 13, as well as Matthew 8, 18 to 22. So starting with Matthew 9, verse 9. As Jesus passed on from there, he called a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. And as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." Matthew chapter 8, starting at verse 18. Now when Jesus saw a crowd around him, he gave orders to go over to the other side. And a scribe came up to him and said to him, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Another of the disciples said to him, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Follow me and leave the dead to bury their own dead." This is the word of the Lord.
You know, so we're talking about following Jesus. That's our main thought this morning, following Jesus. You know, following a person is not simple. You might think it is, but oftentimes there's adjustments, there's good times, there's bad times. There's a lot of things that kind of go on in that. And I would just encourage you in this way. You know, if you're a follower of Jesus, whether it's a good time for you right now, whether it's a difficult time that you're going through, just keep following. Don't bail. Don't just stop. Keep following him. So we're going to look at these two cases this morning. One of Matthew, and then one of these other two disciples who needed a little bit of an adjustment in the way that they saw discipleship. So if we're thinking again about Matthew, of course Jesus says to him, and this is the most unlikely candidate for following a follower of Jesus. This is a tax collector. And for those of you, is there anybody here who works for CRA? I don't blame you for not putting up your hand. That's okay. But typically, tax collectors are not like top of the list. I know Roy used to work for CRA many years ago, right? Yeah, just. Don't bring it up, right. So, you know, typically when we're thinking of the tax department, we're not thinking about, you know, like, oh, I can't wait to pay my taxes. Oh, I love the people who work at the tax. Okay, so that's us in 2018. If you go all the way back to the time when Matthew was a tax collector, let me just fill you in a little bit. Matthew is a Jew. He's working for the occupying Romans. And he's taking money from his own people. And he's taking more than he should be taking from his own people so that he can be wealthy. Would you like to have a friend like that? And so you might consider, you know, if you're Matthew thinking about yourself, how do you feel? You know what? I know I'm a Jew, but I don't fit in that community. And how does the community think about you? They wrote you off a long time ago. You hang out with Gentiles all the time. You in fact, they would probably say, "Matthew, you're a traitor. You are selling us out, Matthew. Let the Romans get their own people. Why are you jumping in and helping them?" So he's an outsider. And so, you know, this is a great example for us. You know, we've already seen in the book of Matthew that Jesus loves to reach outsiders. And he loves to bring outsiders right into the center of his community. That's called the kingdom of God. He loves to bring those who are marginalized, those who are looked down on, those who are broken, those who are unclean. He loves to bring them into real community, and that's exactly what he's doing with Matthew. And of course, you got to remember, those religious leaders of the day, they're not happy with that. You know, because they've got things working the way they like it, and it always tends to work in their favor. So when you have a person like Matthew, that really changes the dynamic. And so you remember the story? So Jesus walks up to him and he says, "Matthew, follow me. Matthew leaves everything and follows Jesus. And the next part of the story is just so humorous. Because if you're a person who has connected with Jesus and you're in relationship with Jesus, you know what happens in your heart. I want other people to know about this. So guess who Matthew calls to his house? All his friends. So who do you think his friends are? Yeah, like more other tax collectors. And his friends and everything else. So they're probably not the kind of people that you and I would think that Jesus would hang out with. But we already said Jesus is the kind of person, Jesus has arms open wide for people. Yeah, they're broken. Yeah, they're going in the wrong direction. But Jesus is reaching out. And so there's a party going on. Let's call it for what it is. There's a party going on at Matthew's house. And who's there? Jesus and his disciples. Isn't that great? Some of us would be like, that seems a little offside. That's not right. Jesus, I don't think you should be hanging out over there. But Jesus has no problem in doing that. And I want to draw your attention to, you know, of course, the Pharisees, they get all, you know, they're all bent out of shape. You're not following our program. But look at what Jesus says to them. Go, this is verse 13, go and learn what it means. I desire, what? Mercy. God says, I desire mercy. I'm not interested in all of your sacrifices, you know, your duties, the things that you want to do. I'm a God of mercy. And do you know what he's exhibiting here to Matthew? The greatest mercy. What is a disciple? A disciple is someone who has followed Jesus. We asked this question early on in our series in Matthew, but I'll ask it again. How many people, and I really want to see hands, I'm not saying you need to raise your hand if you don't feel you need to raise your hand, but if you feel, yeah, that's me, then raise your hand. How many of you feel like you are a disciple of Jesus Christ? How many of you, honestly speaking, don't know? Thank you for your honesty. That's good. So this is interesting. Many times when we're as a Christian, we kind of think about disciple as like another level. Like, I'm okay with you calling me a Christian. I'm born again, I've received the Spirit, everything's fine on that side. And so you think, yeah, I'm definitely a Christian. But then when you start to read the New Testament and you see how Jesus, you know, works with his disciples, sometimes you feel like, well, that's them and I don't think I'm one of them. But you know, the fact of the matter is this. Let me ask you, would you raise your hand if you're a Christian? Well, we have significantly more than what we had. Just a little while ago. Yeah, keep your hand up. Like, if you're a Christian, raise your hand. Okay. All of you who have your hands raised, do you know what you are? Disciples. Okay, so let me try that again. How many disciples are in the room? Wow, we got it. Yeah, it's really interesting, right? Because sometimes we just say, no, that can't possibly be me. And we did mention, like, there's two kinds of disciples. The disciples that Jesus is calling, you know, the 12 who become apostles, and nobody in this room is one of those. But the rest of us, we are disciples who are really and truly following Jesus. Why? We have committed our lives into his hands. Amen. We're following Jesus. Now, let's be honest. Are we doing a good job at following Jesus? I heard the grumble. right? I echo that. It's like, yeah, sometimes I really struggle in my discipleship, in my following Jesus. I mean, right now I'm going through a season that's not simple. It's not an easy one. It's like all this complications going on. And look, I'm going through a tough time. And but you know what? Like I said at the very beginning, whether I'm going through a great time, whether I'm going through a difficult time, you know what I'm called to do? Follow. I'm a disciple. I'm not bailing. I'm not leaving. I'm having a hard time, but I'm still following. I'm still following. Have I made mistakes? Sure. Have I made mistakes personally? Yes. Have I made mistakes in my leadership? Yes. But am I still following? Am I still a disciple? Yes. And I've got a merciful God who is reaching out to me in that condition, and he's saying, come on. I'm here. I'm full of mercy. I'm full of grace. I'm full of forgiveness. Brothers and sisters, friends, I don't want you to be thinking this morning, that's, you know, what we're talking about here, this discipleship thing, it's not for me. It is for you. If you're a Christian, Jesus is speaking to you. Jesus is speaking to you. I know there are some here who didn't raise their hand because they're probably not sure if they are Christians or not. And maybe you feel a little bit like Matthew, the tax collector, and you feel like you're on the outside. But I hope you hear a word of hope this morning. Amen. That Jesus is full of mercy. God desires mercy. Amen. He's full of mercy, and he's saying, where you are this morning, I want to reach you. I really, really want to reach you. He wants to come and just help you where you are. You might feel like an outsider. You might feel like you're not qualified. Some of you know, I know this. Some of you have been praying. I know you know you're not a Christian, but I know you've been praying. You've been trying this thing. And I want you to know, God hears those prayers. And God is answering those prayers. So if that's you this morning, if you're the kind of person who you're not quite sure, I want you to know this, God is calling you to start following him. Some of us have been following for a little while, some for a little longer, but some of us in this room are not following yet. And Jesus is here this morning telling you, you don't have to change. My hand is reaching out to you. He's the one coming to you as you're in the tax booth. And he's saying, come on, follow me. And of course, in Matthew, he's probably thinking, well, don't I have to do this? Don't I have to do that? Don't I have to clean myself up? And the bottom line is, no. And this is God's mercy, and this is God's grace. Trust him and follow him. So we're talking about what is a disciple, who is a disciple this morning. At the beginning, we're looking in this story of Matthew. Let me define, You know, if that's you this morning, if you're a person who's been searching for God and you haven't made that connection yet, I'm going to pray right now and give you that opportunity. It doesn't have to be profound. It's just as simple as this. If you will pray like this, God, I hear you. I believe that you're real. I want to receive you. Simply like that. That simple prayer can begin something so profound in your life. If you've prayed something like that this morning, don't look down on that. That's a beginning. That's a beginning. And if you want to, you know, if you want to learn more about that, believe me, I'd love to spend a little bit more time with you once we're done here or some other time. A disciple is a learner, a lifelong learner. And, you know, as we are following Jesus, sometimes we get a little bit, in our head about what it means to really follow Jesus. But seriously, it just means Jesus is your teacher and you are learning from him and you're following him. And here's one thing I'll mention to you as well. Because, you know, most of us recognize this. Because of sin, our lives and our way of thinking and our feelings and all of those things, they're twisted out of shape. Something is wrong. And so when you begin to follow Jesus, part of your learning is this. He's helping you to get bent back into proper shape so that your love becomes the proper kind of love that it's supposed to be, and your reactions are the proper reactions you're supposed to have, and the way you think and feel and see other people, that's what we're learning. All of those things become proper when Jesus is the one that you're following. So being a disciple of Jesus is being a lifelong learner. And you know, I'll tell you honestly, this gets harder as you get older, but being a disciple is being a lifelong learner of Jesus. But I would also say this, because I don't want to just make this seem like it's, it's all easy. Being a disciple of Jesus means this: you and I will be challenged and changed. So remember I said a little bit earlier, when Matthew came to Jesus, he came as he was. He came exactly as he was. He didn't have to clean himself up. But I can tell you this, when you come to Jesus as you are, don't expect to remain as you are. Disciples of Jesus will change. And I'll tell you this, you will change for the better. You know the marriage that you have? It'll get better. Being a father, you'll be a better father. Follow Jesus. Why? Because he's affecting your heart. He's the one who's helping you to learn how to be a good dad, how to be a good husband, how to be a good wife. That's what Jesus is doing. And he's going to challenge you and change you bit by bit. So that's the story of Matthew. I hope you're clear. As a disciple, as a person who's following Jesus, we come as we are, but we should not expect to stay as we are. Matthew did not remain, not just in the lifestyle that he had. He was completely changed. The man wrote a book of the Bible, right? Like, he got changed. The way he saw people, the way he treated people. We don't have time to go into it this morning. But I want to come to these two very, very interesting cases. One man says to, a scribe, says, one of these men came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go." Now that sounds great, doesn't it? If someone came to me and said, "Ian, I'll follow you wherever you'll go," I'd be happy. Not because I want followers. But you know, it means, oh, this person's engaged. This person really means business. But, you know, the fact that Jesus can see something's not right here, it sounds great, really sounds great. Remember I told you, when you're a disciple, you're gonna get faced with challenge. You're gonna get faced with change. And so sometimes when we're thinking about following Jesus, we're thinking about, we're gonna do it my way. And so typically in those days, disciple and master kind of relationship, it was the disciple or the student would look for the best master and they would put themselves under them because they wanted, you know, they wanted to grow more, they wanted to experience more, all those kinds of things. And Jesus sniffs it out. And he's just like, well, it's not quite going to be the way you think it's going to be. Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests. But I'm the Son of Man, and I have nowhere to lay my head. So you know the idea of the comfort that you might have, it's not going to be there. What you feel like, you know, you're just going to get so much better. You're going to be, you know, you're going to have all kinds of acclaim. Oh, you followed that guy? Well, it's not going to, we all know the way this story ends, right? You're following Jesus. It's going to be challenging. There are going to be people who say, really? I think we know this, right? We're living 2018 in Toronto. If you back the story up maybe 20, 30, 40, 50 years, no problem. You tell someone you're a Christian, two thumbs up. If you tell someone you're a Christian today, where are the thumbs now? Right? Like some people might, yeah, right? They might give you that. Other people might be kind of like one up and I'm not quite sure about you. And then there's some people that just flat out, I hate you. No, seriously. Following Jesus today is a whole lot different than it was just a number of years ago. And I hope you're picking up on this trend. It's not going to get better. Like, look at the way that North America is going. It's not going to get easier. It's going to be tougher. So if you're following Jesus, you got to get ready to be challenged, not only by him, but rejected by your society, possibly, and sometimes your friends. I know some of the young leaders who are here, they're very careful who they tell that they're a Christian. You might say, Ian, they're compromising their testimony. No, they're smart. Like, think about it. If you're a teacher, if you're a lawyer, you know, like, think about the different professions. It's very, very challenging as we go forward. So this man is thinking, oh, this is going to be so great for me. And Jesus says, you know what? There's change coming. If you're going to follow me, there's change coming. Scribe, he wanted to gain some knowledge and, you know, all that kind of thing. But, I think this is important for us as we consider discipleship here at CIT. Discipleship is not about arriving. I want to say that again because this is going to be foundational for us. Discipleship is not going to be about arriving. It's not about destination. You can go to a number of different places and they talk about discipleship and they say, you know, you'll take 101 course, 201 course, 301 course, 401 course, and you're done. You're not going to find that here at CIT. Because we're not focused on arriving. We're not focused on destination. We're focused on a direction. We're focused on a person. We want anybody who's going to be here, part of our discipleship pathway, listen, you will see again and again, we are aiming you at one person, Jesus. Because being a disciple means I follow him. Are there going to be programs for you to jump in on and help you and everything? Yeah, there are. But the focus is, I'm following Jesus. That's it. We're not about, oh, I've completed this thing and now I've got something to, you know, kind of boast about. The thing that you've got to know is this. Jesus is going to challenge you. He challenged this man. He's going to challenge you as well. And you should expect that kind of challenge is coming. Not all the time. It doesn't mean like it's going to be this, you know, relationship where he's always challenging you. No, it's not that. But there will be times when he will challenge you. And he'll challenge you in this way. How are you treating your kids? He'll challenge you. That word you used, that the way you said it, you're like, but I said what needed to be said. And you're absolutely right. You said what needed to be said. It's the way you said it that Jesus is going to say, yeah, no. And the way that you treat your spouse. I remember a number of years ago when I was teaching, I really enjoyed teaching, honestly. And because I was, you know, teaching kids and their grammar is always messed up and stuff like that, I felt like I was always correcting kids at school, like, no, it's not that. You know, like their subject-verb agreement was all out of whack, and I was correcting them all the time. And I remember I got into a bad habit at home of correcting my wife when she did. What? Was that wrong? I'm glad you felt the pain there. Yeah, and you know, eventually what Jesus said? Yeah, you should stop that. That's not a good idea. So expect, and you know what? It's changed for the better. You think my marriage life is better now? Unless something else is wrong. That's a pretty nasty thing to be going on where you've got, you know, one person in a relationship who's just correcting the other person all the time. Well, that's not healthy. But Jesus is here to help this disciple to follow him better, and not only to follow him better, to serve others better. That's it. That's what Jesus is doing. How about your work ethic? I remember talking to a young man. He's a Christian man. He was boasting to me about how at work, he has so much time, he has so little work to do at work that he can play video games. And he was so happy. And I said, wait, is that what they're paying you for? He's like, well, no. So why are you playing video games? You know, sometimes this is how God comes to us, right? He's just like, sometimes he's helping you to feel it yourself, and then sometimes he'll use somebody else and he'll say, hey, that was not so good. And you make the adjustment, and that's okay. But we could be slackers at work, but we can go the other way too, right? We could be workaholics, and our families are suffering. And I know the way it goes sometimes for dads is sometimes we feel like, you know, I don't tell my kids I love them, but you know, they know that I love them because I'm working so hard and I'm hardly at home and everything else. And if you're a disciple of Jesus, expect that Jesus is going to speak into that. You need to be a father at home with your kids. And he's also going to speak into how you spend your money. That's a tough message, right? Yeah, discipleship is it's awesome, but it's an adjusting, right? I mean, there's lots of joy being a disciple as well. And we're just kind of focusing on these ones this morning. Okay, so the other person who's here also is this. So he says, I will follow you. I will be your disciple, but you know, I need to go bury my dad first. Sounds reasonable, right? But here's the problem with the story. We don't know if the dad is dead. In fact, there's a high likelihood the dad is not dead. There's a high likelihood the dad is just elderly. But in the Jewish tradition, it was, oh, you've got to take care of your dad in those later years and everything else. And so what is this man saying to Jesus? I will be a disciple of yours when? Later. Because he said, let me first go and do this. Let me first. Does that sound familiar? Jesus is calling you. Jesus is encouraging you to be a disciple of his and to follow him. And sometimes we're like, I will, but you know, I've just, let me finish school first. Okay, school's done. Well, let me just get my career on the path, right? Let me just do it. Let me just do that. Once I do that, I promise you, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. I'll be your disciple. And you know how it goes. Once you get your job, it's like, I've got my eye on that girl. You know, if you give me that girl, then I'll follow you. And God is so gracious to you, he gives you the girl. And you're like, you know, when we have kids, then, and I'm serious. Like, this is like kicking the can down the road. This is really serious stuff. You know what? I am running so out of time, but I gotta do this demonstration for you. We're like this. Our life is like a juicy, ripe orange. And it's got so much, like, think about this. Like, it's got so, like, look, it's filled with all kinds of life and juice and everything else. And you know what we do? Instead of being disciples of Jesus, we're like, oh yeah, I gotta get into U of T. You know, you don't understand. You don't understand. It's so hard to get into U of T. I can't bother going to youth. Well, you just used up a whole bunch of energy and you're not interested in Jesus at all. And then it's like, oh yeah, but I gotta find a really, really good job. And you don't understand how long that takes, Ian. Like, you're not, look, don't talk to me about it. Jesus is the one who's calling you, and you're just getting wrung out, and then you start your job. Is there anybody here who's started a job in the last 5 years? Are you kind of realizing, oh man, this sucks? Right? It's like, this is not what I thought. First of all, I didn't get that seven-figure income that they told me I was gonna, no, it's not seven, six is probably better, right? Six? My math is terrible. And look at what's happening to you. And then you're like, oh, well, you know what? Okay, I'll tell you what. I still got half of my life left. So you gave me the wife. Thank you so much. I appreciate that so much. How about you just like, oh, let's have some kids and I got to work on my retirement. I need $1 million before I can retire. You know that? I need $1 million. I'm seriously, me here, I'm in trouble. If I need $1 million to retire, I'm in big, big trouble. But I put that kind of pressure on myself, right? And at the expense of what? My discipleship. First, oh no, seriously, it's legit. I gotta take care of my dad. Your dad's not even dead yet. Like, think about it. And you're just wringing yourself out. Oh, well, no, I'll tell you what. I promise when I retire, then I will, I'll really serve you. And then you look at the end of your life and what have you got left to offer to God? What do you have? Is that the way you want to be? Because there's a lot of time and a lot of energy and a lot of things that are going on, the potential that God has given to you, he's invested in you, and he's saying, would you just follow me? Don't waste your life. Does that mean I don't think you should go to work? No, you should go to work and you should work really hard. You should be, right, and you should be a good dad, a good mom, you should be, right, all those things. But do it in discipleship to Jesus. Let's say you're a person who feels like this. Is there still time? Yeah, there is.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I know. You wasted your whole life. We have a God who's full of mercy. And he says, I get it. I know. I'll take those last years. I'll take them and I'll change your life like you can't believe. I'll make you into something you can't believe if you will follow me. Don't ever think that God would just say, that's good for nothing but the garbage. No, that's our world. How many of us have friends who spent their entire lives working at a company and they got to a certain age and one day they came to work and you don't work here anymore. Don't lose your opportunity to be a disciple. Be a disciple as you are. Let me finish in this way. I'm already over, sorry. We have a discipleship pathway that we're going to be starting here, hopefully in the fall. We're still working through it. But let me just leave you with these two thoughts. Number one would be this. Our discipleship is focused on a person, not a program. Amen? We're not focused on getting you to jump through all kinds of hoops. We're focused on helping you to find the person of Jesus Christ. But a more important thing is this for you personally. As a disciple of Jesus Christ, you need to learn to become a self-feeder. You need to feed yourself. Babies need to be fed. That's totally fine. But when you start to grow, you need to learn how to feed yourself, make wise choices. You and I need to take ownership of our discipleship, and we need to learn how to develop ourselves. So I'm going to give you four things, and it's very interesting. These things you're going to say, Ian, I've heard these before. Me too. But these four things I'm about to say to you are proven to help disciples grow. Four things to help disciples to grow. Number one, read your Bible daily. I did not say study your Bible. I did not say memorize from your Bible. I'm just saying read your Bible daily. And I'm not saying how much you need to read. I'm saying read your Bible daily. If you need help in terms of getting on a program or getting into some kind of program, I can definitely help you with that. Simply read your Bible and you will be surprised how much you find out who this Jesus is that you're following. Number two, I told you these are not earth-shattering. Attend church regularly. Attend church regularly. Now, for some people, regularly means I come once a year. Okay, that's not regularly enough. So if you're a person this morning, you come to church once every month. I would challenge you this morning, can you double that? Come twice a month. And if you're coming more than twice, come on. You can do more. Look, this is not so we can say, wow, look at how many people we have. No, this is because it's proven that people who go to church grow. And if you want to grow as a disciple, this is a great way to do it. Number three, attend a community group. You hear us every single week. You hear us every single week. Get connected. Get into a community group. And yet you're like, but I don't know. Really, in a community group, you are going to get connected. You are going to grow and Now, some of you might say, well, yeah, but Ian, you don't understand my schedule. That sounds to me like, let me first. Don't just take the excuses. Push against those things. So first one, read the Bible daily. Number two, attend church regularly. Number three, attend a community group regularly. Number four, serve other people. Aren't they simple? Four simple things to do. We're going to focus a lot on these things as we go forward. Why? Because these are things that are going to help you to know who Jesus is and follow him even better. Let me pray for us, and then we'll get Nate to come up. Father, thank you so much for your word. God, this is a tough word this morning. On the one hand, it's full of grace when we're looking at Matthew. But it's tough on the side of the adjusting that Jesus is helping these other disciples with. God, I just pray that that grace that was extended to Matthew would also be seen as grace being extended to these other men. Jesus doesn't want them to waste their lives. He wants them to follow him and really for the better. So God, we're just praying for our hearts this morning. We're praying, Lord, as disciples of Jesus Christ, we would not be making excuses. We would simply be following you. We just know that your grace is with us. And we just put these four things in front of you. Our reading of the Bible, our attending church regularly, our being in a community group regularly, and our serving others. God, we put them in front of you this morning. We lay them before you, and we pray that you would speak to us. Help us in these four areas. God, we love you, we trust you, and we lift up your name this morning. Amen? Sorry, I went over 5 minutes. I really apologize for that.
That's okay, we'll forgive you.
Thank you. There's mercy.
There's mercy, that's right. It's absolutely true in my experience that the more that I dig into these four things, that I make them part of my life, the more God changes me. My character, who I am, just becomes more like him. It's a weird phrase, but it's really true. The better my marriage gets, it's incredible.